Do you remember when you were young? Do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up? This past Wednesday night, I was talking to Chloe Roberts, and I asked her, Chloe, what would you like to be when you grow up? And she said, without hesitation, I want to be a teacher. And she said, and then she commenced to telling me why. Two reasons. One, I like to be the boss. And number two, I like to talk a lot. Sounds like a pretty good profession, doesn't it? What do we want to be? We live in a day and age in America and in our culture where we do have a lot of freedoms and choices. There's a lot that we can choose, individuality. I want us to think today not so much about those things that are perfectly fine to choose, you know, your style of dress or what career you might want to go into. But I want us to think today about the fact that we live in a world that says whatever you want to be, go for it. Whatever you want to do, go for it. Whatever makes you happy, do that. Isn't that the message of the current society we live in? What do you want? Do that. Do what makes you happy. You be you, right? And yet, as Christians, when we study our Bibles, we get a different message. And so here we are, like every other generation of people trying to follow God. We want to follow you, and yet we hear a different message from those around us. You may have heard this is a growing thought concerning, you know, there are two pretty big issues in our culture today. Issues of gender identity struggles and same-sex attraction struggles. And those are two big things that our world is wrestling with. And there's a growing number of people. This is kind of new to me, but you may have heard the musician Pink. She's decided her daughter to let her daughter choose as she grows up, basically raise her daughter gender neutral and let her daughter choose what gender she wants to be. And so this is a now that's a whole nother step from, you know, some things that we've heard before, but this is growing. But it grows, doesn't it grow out of a mentality that, folks, whatever you want to do, do it. Whatever works for you, do that. Whatever you want to be, whatever makes you happy. But our relationship with God is built on the foundation of us surrendering. In the waters of baptism, we surrendered who we wanted to be, didn't we? We surrendered that to a God who is striving to make us what He wants us to be. And so that's been our theme this year. You've heard us talk a lot about it. You've heard me preach a number of times about transformation. Bob, a couple of weeks ago, spoke about it. Transformation. Relinquishing power. I recently got a new phone, and if you've done that with a smartphone, you know the process that you have to go through setting it up, and you're adding apps, and you're doing this and that, and every step of the way, all you want to do is get this thing, you know, functioning like your old phone was, but just better. But everything you add, you're continually bombarded with these questions of, you need to give this app permission. Can I have permission to know where you are at all times? Can I have permission to, you know, look at your contacts? This app needs permission to look at your photos. This app wants permission to know what you like. And then it's going to advertise you to death with things that meet your interests, right? No, thank you. Anyway, it's just the world we live in with technology, permission. And so, this is us and God, isn't it? Am I going to allow God permission to change my life? Is that how I look at my relationship with God? I think it's a struggle for us because we all know who we are, so to speak. We know us better than anyone else with the exception of God. We also know what we wish were different about us. Wish I were taller, wish I were shorter, wish I were bigger, smaller, right? Different things that we would like to change. Most of us wish we could change our looks in some way. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't matter how we look, we all wish we could change that. Isn't that something? Trade places with someone else here or someone you know that looks like you think you would like to look, and guess what? They're ready to trade places with someone as well. We all wish we looked a little different. Maybe lose weight, maybe more muscle, better skin, better hair. A couple things I want to say about that. One is a good joke I heard recently about it, for guys that are losing some hair. So if you're losing hair in the back, it is said that you're a thinker. If you're losing hair on the crown of your head, that you're a thinker. And if you tend to lose hair in the front, like a receding hairline, you're a lover. And if you're losing hair all over, you think you're a lover. And I didn't appreciate that Lendl, with a good head of hair, is the one that told me that joke. I didn't. If you have a good head of hair, you can't tell bald people jokes. The other thing I want to say about our appearance and beauty is that Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is vain. Other translations read, beauty is fleeting. There's something in us, we want it, but it's not going to work, right? It's not going to work. And we live in a society where there's multi-billion-dollar industry to help you look better, to help you look the way you'd like to look. We'd like to be smarter. We'd like to know more than most people. We'd like all our children to achieve above average status in school, which blows my mind, having what I feel like is a right view of what average means. But anyway, we want all the kids to achieve above average. We all want to be above average, right? Smarter, more knowledgeable. We want to be happy all the time. Are you like me? If you're not happy, boy, it's all hands on deck. Hit the alarm button. I got to do something because I'm not happy. Right? I mean, all resources come to the forefront. Let's figure out how to be happy. It's a struggle. We want everyone to like us. We want everyone to respect us. If somebody doesn't respect me, that's a problem. Now let's hit the panic button, right? Somebody doesn't respect me. What does God tell us to do with the desires that we have? We have desires. Some of them are fine. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? But then many of our desires get us outside of God's holiness. Galatians talks about that. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Great passage about the human struggle, because there's a part of us that is human and fleshly and earthly, and a part of us that's spiritual, and these two battle each other. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Anybody relate to that? Anybody relate to spiritual side that says, man, I wish I was more this. I wish I would do this more. Why didn't I do this yesterday or last week? But you have an earthly, fleshly side that desires things and wants to fulfill them. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And notice the very first one listed. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Paul goes on to list impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So we have a list, and then we have things that, you know, that's not all of the list, but that gets us, we know what we're talking about, don't we? But the very first one is something that man has struggled with since the first day, sexual immorality. It's always been a struggle. It's a temptation. It's a challenge. And we need to be reminded, because our world changes its perspective on intimacy, on sexuality. Our world changes its mind on this, but God teaches us that He gave us sexual intimacy. He gave it. And it was to be for the purposes of procreation, which is obvious, but also for the purpose of bonding between a husband and wife, for that relationship. Doesn't that? We can see that, can't we? We can see the beauty in how God has designed things. And yet we struggle because we have desires that are outside of God's plan. And sometimes we may think, well, you know, it doesn't seem fair that As a Christian, you're telling me I can't do certain things, but I want to do those things. Those things make me happy. You're trying to tell me I can't do what I want to do to be happy. And in our current culture, that doesn't make a lick of sense, right? Because our current world says, if you want to do it, go for it. Especially if you're not harming someone else. But God tells us different. Think about this for a minute. Who did Jesus get to be? So we're talking about, you know, who do we want to be? Who are we? Who did Jesus get to be? Did Jesus get to marry? Did he get to have a wife? Did he get to enjoy what would come from a marriage? Was Jesus? How about Jesus' appearance? How did he look? What is it? We have a painting that's been painted this century of Jesus that most people, when you see it, you would think this is Jesus. We don't know how he looked, but Isaiah 53:2 prophesied about him that he would have no beauty that we should desire him. That tells us Jesus was on the homely side of things. He wasn't great looking, right? He did not have an appearance that people would be drawn to him. Did Jesus get to fulfill his desires? I mean, part of being a Christian is controlling our desires, isn't it? One of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Did Jesus get to fulfill his desires? No. Was he liked by most people? No. Was he respected by most people? No. Did Jesus get to choose who he wanted to be? No. And here's a scripture that speaks specifically to this. John 5:30. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It kind of really opens my eyes when I stop and compare what I really wish for me, what I could be. And then I look at, well, what did Jesus get? Not only is he the Son of God, he is God. He made all this. And even the Maker did not come and live the life he wanted to live. Isn't that something? And yet our world says, be who you want to be. Look at Jeremiah. Here's an interesting passage in Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Says that God told Jeremiah on an occasion, I want you to go down to the potter. Potter's making pottery. Just go watch it. So Jeremiah does. He goes down and he notices the potter. And he's working this clay and he gets to where he doesn't like it and he kind of starts over. He molds it again. And he starts out. He's making a pot. And then God makes this statement, Jeremiah 18, verse 5. God says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. That's what God wants, isn't it? God wants clay. He wants permission to take you and mold you into what he wants you to be. That's what God wants. We are a people that declare this scripture right here. God created man in his own image. We are a people that says we have a creator. We didn't just evolve, we did not evolve from a single cell organism over, pick a number, millions of years. The number has to grow because science continues to realize this really doesn't work. But we did not evolve from some simple form of life through a series of accidents, which incidentally, the term we use for that is a birth defect, that one living being had another living being, a product, a birth, and there was a mistake, and the mistake made it better. And if you add enough years and you get enough accidents and throw in survival of the fittest, look at us now. Folks, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. It takes a great, much greater amount of faith to believe that than to believe what we believe, and that is there's an Almighty who made us in His image. That's what we stand on. We were created, right? That's what we stand on. And sometimes you may ask, you may think, well, Elliot, why can't I just go the route of what modern you know, minds have discovered and now realize about this, that, and the other, gender identity, for example. But well, why can't we go this route? And we now, you know, we now understand as people and humans such and such, and that, you know, things really work better for us if you just raise your children this way or do that. And the answer is, we didn't make us. But the one who did gave us an owner's manual. When we read this, we're not just reading old books, right? We're reading books that we stake our entire lives on, and we say, this is inspired by God. The owner of us, the one who designed us, wrote this. Doesn't that make sense? Why would you go with God's way instead of man's latest and greatest way? And that is, man didn't make man. God made man. And God gave us an owner's manual. And God says, things will be better if you will do this. Incidentally, understand, this kind of blows my mind, but consider this. Your own personal opinions about things like this are probably very much in line with your generation. You ever thought about this? Every generation changes their mind from the one before. Every generation decides certain things that the old folks thought is crazy. And it keeps changing. Mankind keeps changing their mind. Why would we listen to us? Think about that. We are so different in our thinking now than we were 100 years ago. And guess what? In another 50, 100 years, we're going to think different then too. Why go with the current thought of man, which continually changes? Just something to think about. 2 Timothy 2:20. A passage that Paul writes about us being clay and being molded by the Almighty. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master. Then, so Paul is talking about us being moldable by God. Be who God wants you to be. Let God make you honorable. Let God make you holy. You'll be useful. And then verse 22 says the opposite of what we see in most every movie you watch. Most all music that's popular, right? Most all shows tell you to pursue youthful passions. That's what we hear. But the scripture says flee from it. Flee youthful passions. Our number one goal is to be useful to the master. And I cannot be useful to the master and be everything I want to be. Romans 12, this is our scripture this year. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So you may discern the will of God. Recently, we went to took a trip to Indiana vacation. And before we did, we took the Ford Explorer. But she's an old gal, and we love her, but she's still getting after it. And so before we take her, we want to have her checked out. So Chris Mitchell is one that I trust who does some things for our vehicles, repairs them. And so took it to Chris, said, Chris, look it over, tell me, you know, what do we need to do before we take this trip? And he did. And we did those things. And then, but one of the things he recommended was rotate the tires. So we did that. We took it to a tire place in Tulsa and had the tires rotated, changed the oil, get some new wiper blades. Anyway, we went and killed some time. And so the guy calls me on the phone. He says, Mr. Dunn, you know, there's just a couple other things we noticed while we were, you know, changing your oil and looking over your car. And there's such and such and such and such. And, you know, we could, I mean, that's it probably needs to be done at some point. We could do that for such and such amount. And I said, well, let's hold off on that. Okay, now I want to run through. Here's some other things that, you know, we just wanted to make you mindful of. And here's something. This would run about, you know, $800. And then we could do this. Now, this is just really beginning to wear, but we, you know, it'll need to be done at some point. If you'd like us to do that, that'd be about $1,800. We could take care of that for you today. By the time he got talking, added all up, over $4,000 worth of stuff that he would gladly do, you know, take care of me if I wanted him to go ahead. Just wanted to make me known, make me aware of that. All right, so you can see the contrast between Chris, who I trust. I know he has my best interests at heart. I know he's not trying to take advantage of me, right? And then a company that may be trying to, I don't trust them. I don't know them. And we may wrestle with, well, here's what I want, but can I trust me? Well, here's what my friend thinks. They think this is good and right and fine. Can I trust them? And the point is, I can trust my Heavenly Father. I can trust the one who made me. I can trust that as He guides me in His Word, He's not guiding me wrongly. Even though He may tell me, Elliot, you can't do this. And I say, but I really would like to. No, you don't want to do that. I can trust Him. I can say this prayer, and you can too. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Because I don't have that within me to guide me always in the right way. Do you? We don't have that. Ezekiel 36, 24 says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. That's who we can trust, isn't it? The one who has our best interests at heart. So when we encounter people who want to live life their way, and may be struggling with some of these issues that I've mentioned, we don't need to have the message of the world, which is you just do whatever you want to do. Our message, we need to help people, first of all. People are struggling with things, and they need godly help and assistance and guidance, don't they? But they don't need to be told, you know what, if you want to do that, you just do that. Because we have a Heavenly Father who guides us in the right way. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires. Your desires are not always genuine and right and good and wholesome. They will deceive you, right? We can be deceived by what we want. And so a major principle of Christianity is you are not your own. Your life is not up to you to do what you want to with it. But we surrender that to God in baptism. God is in charge of our life. If we want to walk away from that agreement, we can. If you want to walk away from the agreement that God, you do what you want with me, and you want to walk away with that and live life your way, you can. But one day, we need to be reminded, one day we will stand before our Maker. And He will cast us from His presence if we've chosen not to surrender to Him. He will cast us out. We'll be with Satan. We'll be with the one that we've been following this whole life if we choose to rebel against God. Right? So we have a choice. We can either surrender. This is the irony. Everyone surrenders. They either surrender to the Father of love or they surrender to the Father of lies. Everyone. Either following God or Satan. One of the two. And I would rather choose the Father who loves me. Someone might say, and this is the battle that we, this is a struggle we have with our friends and neighbors. Someone might say, you know, if God is so loving, why won't He let you do whatever you want to do? And the answer is, if you have children, the same reason you don't let your children do anything they want to do. Because they're idiots. Right? No offense to children. And as adults, In our relationship with God, we're idiots too. Seriously. If we were to do everything we want to do, do you know the mess we'd be in? God is the one who made us. He is the one who knows. He is the one we surrender to and submit to. Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all work of Your hand. Who do I want to be? I want to be whoever God wants me to be. Isn't that our message? So that's the reminder today. And we'll close with a song. God, I'm not mine, I'm yours. You do with me what you want. There may be one here this morning. Maybe you've never really surrendered your life to God. Maybe you've never made that agreement with God in baptism. God, I give it to you. Maybe you have, but then you took it back. And today you want prayers that God would work in your life. God, you take over. If there's something we can help you with this morning, we'd want you to come while we stand and sing.
I am